There's a big question at the center of life in our democracies today. How do we fight terror without destroying democracies, without trampling human rights? I've spent much of my career working with journalists, with bloggers, with activists, with human rights researchers all around the world, and I've come to the conclusion that if our democratic societies do not double down on protecting and defending human rights, freedom of the press, and a free and open internet, radical extremist ideologies are much more likely to persist. Okay, all done. Thank you very much. No, just joking. I actually want to drill down on this a little bit. So, one of the countries that has been on the front lines of this issue is Tunisia, which was the only country to come out of the Arab Spring with a successful democratic revolution. 5 years later, they're struggling with serious terror attacks and rampant ISIS recruitment. And many Tunisians are calling on their government to do whatever it takes to keep them safe. Tunisian cartoonist Nadia Khairi has summed up the situation with this character who says, "I don't give a damn about human rights. I don't give a damn about the revolution. I don't give a damn about democracy and liberty. I just want to be safe." "Satisfied?" asks his jailer. "You're safe now." If the Tunisian people can figure out how to deal with their terrorism problem without ending up in this place, they will be a model not only for their region, but for all of us. The reality is that civil society, journalists, and activists are coming under attack from extremists, groups on the one hand, and in many countries also from their own governments. We're seeing bloggers and journalists being jailed, charged, and intimidated by their own governments, many of which are allies with the West in the war on terror. Just three examples. A friend and former colleague of mine, Hishan Amirat, has been charged with threatening state security along with six other activists in Morocco. The Saudi blogger Raif Badawi has been jailed and flogged for insulting Islam and criticizing the Saudi regime on his blog. More recently, the Turkish representative for Reporters Without Borders, Erol Undaroğlu, has been detained and charged with spreading terrorist propaganda because he and some other activists have been supporting Kurdish media. Anti-terror measures quickly turn into state repression without strong protection for minority communities and for peaceful debate. This needs to be supported by a robust, independent local media. But while that's not really happening, Washington is teaming up with Silicon Valley and with Hollywood to pour millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into what's called counter-messaging, a fancy word for propaganda, to counter the terrorist propaganda spreading all over the internet. In Europe, internet referral units are being set up so that people can report on extremist content that they find and get it censored. The problem is that all of this propaganda, monitoring, and censorship completely fails to make up for the fact that the people who are the most credible voices, who can present credible ideas and alternative solutions to real economic, social, and political problems in their community that are causing people to turn to extremism in the first place, are being silenced by their own governments. This is all adding up to a decrease in freedom across the world. Freedom House, the human rights organization, reports that 2015 marks the 10th straight year in a row of decline in freedom worldwide. And this is not just because of the actions of authoritarian governments. It's also because democratic governments are increasingly cracking down on dissenters, whistleblowers, and investigative journalists. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has warned that preventing extremism and promoting human rights go hand in hand. It's not to say that governments shouldn't keep us safe. Of course they should. But we need public oversight, transparency,